ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome back to Overdub Live Studio, where we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. We welcome this morning His Grace Kinchin Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Come on, warm welcome. Come on. What? Come on. To Kinchina. Welcome back to everyone who's joined us online from various places around the world. And this morning we're going to take up where we left off last night in the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6. We're now at Chapter 5. His Holiness Kesha Bharati Maharaj will commence.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, Chapter 5. Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Text 1. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Panchajani Asikni. My dear king, these sons were called the Haryashwas. Text 2. My dear king, all these sons of Prajapati Daksha were alike in being very gentle and obedient to the orders of their father. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went in the western direction. Text 3. In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayana Saras. Many sages and others advanced in spiritual consciousness live there. Text 4 and 5. In that holy place, the Haryashvas began regularly touching the lake's waters and bathing in them. Gradually becoming very much purified, they became inclined toward the activities of Paramahansas. Nevertheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. One day, when the great sage Narada saw those boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narada approached them. Text 6 through 8. The great sage Narada said, "My dear Haryashvas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives and where there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman who is extremely unchaste adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny?" Purport. Narada Muni saw that the boys known as the Haryashvas were already purified because of living in that holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they be encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that once having entered it, one cannot leave it? Through this analogy, Narada Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's order to be entangled in family life. Indirectly, he asked them to find within the cores of their hearts the situation of the Supersoul, Lord Vishnu, for then they would truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in his material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in the illusory energy. Narada Muni's purpose was to get the sons of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given to Prahlad Maharaj to his father. Nasadu manye surabarya dehinam sada samug nagnadyam asadgrahad hit vatmapatam griyamandakupam vanam kato yad dadimashrayeta. In the dark well of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of having accepted a temporary body. If one wants to free himself from this anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of the Supreme Personality Godhead in Vrindavan. Narada Muni advised the Haryashvas not to enter household life. Since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge, why should they be entangled in that way? Text 9. Alas, your father is omniscient, but you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create progeny? Text 10. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, hearing these enigmatic words of Narada Muni, the Haryashvas considered them with their natural intelligence, without help from others. Text 11. The Haryashvas understood the meaning of Narada's words as follows. The word bhu, the earth, refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is his field of activities, and it gives him false designations. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage to the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look toward the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? Purport. Narada Muni spoke to the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, about 10 allegorical subjects: the king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so forth. After considering these by themselves, the Haryashvas could understand that the living entity encaged in this body seeks happiness but takes no interest in how to become free from his encagement. This is a very important verse, since all the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification, then animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. Birds, beasts, and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of the soul encaged within the body. Especially in the human form of body, duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from his encagement. But without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy maya sukha, flickering, temporary happiness. They do not know how to become free from their material encagement. Rishabhadev therefore said that such activity encages the soul again and again, and a body is subjected to the threefold miseries of the material condition. The Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, could immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for such enlightenment. We are trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to the understanding that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization and freedom from the continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, is very strong. She is expert in putting impediments in the way of this understanding. Therefore, sometimes one comes to the Krishna consciousness movement, but again falls into the clutches of Maya, not understanding the importance of this movement. Text 12. Narada Muni had said that there is a kingdom where there is only one male. The Haryashvas realized the purport of this statement. The only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who observes everything, everywhere. He is full of six opulences and fully independent of everyone else. He is never subject to the three modes of material nature, for he is always transcendental to this material creation. If the members of human society do not understand him, the Supreme, through their advancement in knowledge and activities, but simply work very hard like cats and dogs all day and night for temporary happiness, what will be the benefit of their activities? Purport. Narada Muni had mentioned a kingdom where there is only one king with no competitor. The complete spiritual world, and specifically the cosmic manifestation, has only one proprietor or enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond this material manifestation. The Lord has therefore been described as Turiya, existing on the fourth platform. The word bhava, which means take birth, comes to be. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, bhutva, bhutva, praliyate, the living entities in the material world must be repeatedly born and destroyed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is neither bhutva nor praliyate. He is eternal. In other words, he is not obliged or animals repeatedly take birth and die of ignorance of the soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not subjected to such changes of body, and one who thinks otherwise is considered a fool. Avajanantimam mudha manushim tanamashritam. Narada Muni advises that human beings not waste their time simply jumping like cats and monkeys without real benefit. The duty of the human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 13. Narada Muni had described that there is a billa, or hole, from which, having entered, one does not return. The Haryashvas understood the meaning of this allegory. Hardly once has a person who has entered the lower planetary system called Patala been seen to return. Similarly, if one enters the Vaikuntha Dham, Pratyag Dham, he does not return to this material world. If there is such a place, from which, having gone, one does not return to the miserable material condition of life, what is the use of jumping like monkeys in the temporary material world and not seeing or understanding that place? What will be the profit? Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yad gatva nanivartante tadhama paramam mama. There is a region from which, having gone, one does not return to the material world. This region has been repeatedly described. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evam vyo viti tatvadaha taktva deham punar janma naitimam iti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, after leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. If one can properly understand Krishna, who has already been described as the Supreme King, one does not return here after giving up his material body. This fact has been described in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Puman, Naivaiti yadgatva. He does not return to this material world, but returns home, back to Godhead, to live an eternally blissful life of knowledge. Why do people not care about this? What will be the benefit of taking birth again in this material world, sometimes as a human being, sometimes a demigod, and sometimes a cat or dog? What is the benefit of wasting time in this way? Krishna has definitely asserted in Bhagavad Gita 8:15, Mamupetya punarjanma dukalayam ashasvatam napnuvanti mahatmana sangsitim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who were yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries, but they have, because they have attained the highest perfection. One's real concern should be to free himself from the repetition of birth and death and attain the topmost perfection of life by living with the Supreme King in the spiritual world. In these verses, the sons of Daksha repeatedly say, Kim asat karmabir bhavet, what is the use of impermanent fruitive activities? Text 14. Narada Muni has described a woman who was a professional prostitute. The Haryashvas understood the identity of this woman. Mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? Purport. A woman who has no husband declares herself independent. It means that she becomes a prostitute. A prostitute generally dresses herself in various fashions intended to attract a man's attention to the lower part of her body. Today it has become a much advertised fashion for a woman to go almost naked, covering the lower part of her body only slightly, in order to draw the attention of a man to her private parts for sexual enjoyment. The intelligence engaged to attract a man to the lower part of the body is the intelligence of a professional prostitute. Similarly, the intelligence of a living entity who does not turn its attention toward Krishna or the Krishna consciousness movement simply changes dresses like a prostitute. What is the benefit of such foolish intelligence? One should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change from one body to another. Karmis change their professions at any moment, but a Krishna conscious person does not change his profession, for his only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and living a very simple life without following the daily changes of fashion. In our Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion, the dress of a Vaishnava with shaved head and tilak. They are taught to be always clean in mind, dress, and eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. What is the use of changing one's dress, sometimes wearing long hair and a long beard, sometimes dressing otherwise? It's not good. One should not waste his time in such frivolous activities. One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. Text 15. Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Haryashvas understood this as follows. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who was the husband of the prostitute. The Haryashvas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs...
Hey! Shh!
Well, that was also India. That's how you deal with it. Notice?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Didn't you? You got to know what to do, you know? You got to know what to do, you know? And how to do it, you know? Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? So what sentence is missing?
I see. Purport. Polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who is not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana, those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence. Namely, intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Bahu shaka yanantascha bhucha buddhayo vyabhasayinam. One who is not fixed in proper intelligence discovers many modes of life. Thus involved in material activities, he is exposed to the different modes of material nature and subjected to varieties of so-called happiness and distress. If a man becomes the husband of a prostitute, he cannot be happy. And similarly, one who follows the dictations of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. One must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakriti kriyamanani munai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Although one follows the dictations of material nature, he happily thinks himself the master or husband of material nature. Scientists, for example, try to be the masters of material nature life after life, not caring to understand the Supreme Person, under whose direction everything within this material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. In fact, however, the living being, unable to control the rulings of God, is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13:22, Purushak prakatisto hi punkte prakatijan gunan kananam gansangasya sarasat joni janmasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, he does not solve this real problem. And does not solve this real problem, what profit will he gain?
Text 16. Narada Muni had said that there is a river flowing in both directions. The Haryashvas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in waves, and since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? Purport, one may be submerged in the waves of a river of Maya, in the waves of the river of Maya, but one must also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. Near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed by the waves, but simply engages in temporary fruitive activities, what benefit will he derive? In the Brahma Sanhita 544, there is this statement, Shristi sthiti pralaya sarana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanani viparati durga. The Maya Shakti, Durga, is in charge of the Shristi sthiti pralaya, creation and dissolution. And she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. When one falls in the river of nations, he is always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is not... Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge from the Vedic literature, and at the same time, he must practice austerities. To attain freedom from material life, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one very busily engages in the so-called advancement of science, what benefit will he derive? If one is carried away by the waves of nature, what is the meaning of being a great scientist or philosopher? Mundane science and philosophy are also material creations. One must understand how Maya works and how one can be released from the tossing waves of the river of nations. That is one's first duty. 17. Narada Muni had said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Haryashvas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is a reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, he causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities not knowing that Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? Purport, philosophers and scientists conduct scholarly research to find the original cause, but they should do so scientifically, not whimsically, or through fantastic theories. The science of the original cause is explained in various Vedic literatures. Atato brahma jignasa janmadyasa yataha. The Vedanta Sutra explains that one should inquire about the Supreme Soul. Such inquiry about the Supreme Soul is called brahma jignasa. The Absolute Truth, Tattva, is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam jnana madvayam Prameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. Learned transcendentalists who know the Absolute Truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The Absolute Truth appears to neophytes as impersonal Brahman and to advanced mystic yogis as Paramatma, the Supersoul. But devotees who are further advanced understand the Absolute Truth as the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This material cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the energy of Lord Krishna, or Lord Vishnu. Ekadesha stitasyagner jyotsna vistaraniyata prarasya brahmana shaktis tatedam akilam jagat. Whatever we see in this world is but an expansion of various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it is situated in one place. How is everybody? Good? Excellent? Vishnu Purana. The entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if one does not conduct research to find the Supreme Cause, but instead falsely engages in frivolous, temporary activities, what is the use of demanding recognition as an important scientist or philosopher? If one does not know the ultimate cause, what is the use of his scientific and philosophical research? The Purusha, the original person, Bhagavan, Vishnu, can be understood only by devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyashchasmi tatvataha. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme Person who is behind everything. One must try to understand that the material elements are the separated inferior energy of the Lord and that the living entity is the Lord's spiritual energy. Whatever we experience, including matter and the spirit soul, the living force, is but a combination of two energies of Lord Vishnu, the inferior energy and the superior energy. One should seriously study the facts concerning creation, maintenance, and devastation, as well as the permanent place from which one never need return. Yadgat va na nivartante. Human society should study this. But instead of culturing such knowledge, people are attracted to temporary happiness and sense gratification, culminating in bottomless, topless passion. There is no profit in such activities. One must engage himself in the Krishna consciousness movement. 18. Narada Muni had spoken of a swan. That swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literature, Shastras, vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. The swan, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, what will be the result? What was the analogy before this one? Before the swan? House. Okay, let's start at the beginning. The first one was? No. First one was not a prostitute. No, first one was not the whole. First, second one was the Purusha. First one was, oh, look, my notebook's all turned around. Page is missing. Boo, the field of activities. The first one was the field of activities. It has to be a field of activities. Second one was one male. He said there's one male, the Supreme Personality of God. And third one was the whole. After entering the material world, especially Patala mentioned, they really haven't seen too many people coming back. Similarly, entering into Vaikuntha Loka, nobody comes back. That's confirmed in Shastra. Then there was the woman who represented unsteady intelligence. Then there was the husband of the prostitute who was controlled by that material intelligence. Then I started reading. That was at text number 15. So what did we get after that? At 16 was... a river. River.
The banks are more rapid than the.
Yeah. No, no. The inner part. The river that flows near the banks.
Yeah, that's
the current is stronger than the middle.
And then 17. What is it? House of 25 elements represents what? Hues. 25 elements, which is what?
Body.
What?
Body.
It's the body? Then?
Swan
means? What? Is that what it is?
One that discriminates between matter and spirit.
Okay.
It's the essence from everything.
Okay. Okay. Where were we? 18, 19?
You wouldn't notice.
Where are we?
18.
Which part? The Krishna consciousness movement is very eager to present Vedic literature in modern languages, especially Western languages such as English, French, and German. The leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. A sane man, however, can see that all such grand activities, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with eternal life. The entire world is imitating the materialistic civilization of the West, and therefore the Krishna consciousness movement is very much interested in giving the Western people knowledge by translating the original Sanskrit Vedic literature into Western languages. The word Vivikta Padam refers to the path of logical discourses concerning the aim of life. If one does not discuss that which is important in life, one is put into darkness and must struggle for existence. What then is the benefit of his advancement in knowledge? The people of the West are seeing their students becoming hippies despite gorgeous arrangements for university education. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is trying to convert misguided, drug-addicted students to the service of Krishna and engage them in the best welfare activities for human society. 19. Narada Muni had spoken of a physical object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. The Haryashvas understood this allegory as follows. Eternal time moves very sharply, as if made of razors and thunderbolts. Uninterrupted and fully independent, it drives the activities of the entire world. If one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can he derive from performing temporary material activities? Purport. This verse explains the words Yam Swayam Ni, which especially refer to the orbit of eternal time. It is said that time and tide wait for no man. According to the moral instructions of the great politician Chanakya Pundit, Ayusha Shana Ekopi, Nalabhya Swarna Kotibi, Nacha Nihartakam Niti, Ka Cha Hanistatodika. Even a moment of one's lifetime could not be returned in exchange for millions of dollars. Therefore, one should consider how much loss one suffers if he wastes even a moment of his life for nothing, living like an animal, not understanding the goal of life. One foolishly thinks that there is no eternity and that his lifespan of 50, 60, or at most 100 years is everything. This is the greatest foolishness. Time is eternal, and in the material world, one passes through different phases of his eternal life. Time is compared herein to a sharp razor. A razor is meant to shave the hair from one's face, but if not carefully handled, the razor will cause disaster. One is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime. One should be extremely careful to utilize the span of his life for spiritual realization or Krishna consciousness. 20. Narada Muni had asked how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Haryashvas understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastra. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra scripture is the real father. All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. If one does not know the purpose of the Father's orders, the Shastras, he is ignorant. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instructions of the Father. Purport. Bhagavad Gita 16:7 says, Pavitram cha nivitram cha janana vidurasura. Demons who are less than human beings, but are not called animals, do not know the meaning of pravritti and nivritti, work to be done and work not to be done. In the material world, every living entity has a desire to lord it over the material world as much as possible. This is called pravritti marg. All the Shastras, however, advise nivritti marg, or release from the materialistic way of life. Apart from the Shastras of the Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point. For example, in the Buddhist Shastras, Lord Buddha advises that one achieve nirvana by giving up the materialistic way of life. In the Bible, which is also Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra, one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. One should give up his materialistic life and return to his original spiritual life. Shankaracharya also propounds the same conclusion, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. This material world or materialistic life is simply illusion, and therefore one should stop his illusory activities and come to the platform of Brahman. The word Shastra refers to the scriptures, particularly the Vedic books of knowledge, the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva. And any other books deriving knowledge from these Vedas are considered Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, and therefore it is the scripture whose instructions should be especially accepted. It is the essence of all Shastras. In this essence of all Shastras, Krishna personally advises that one give up all other duties and surrender unto him. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. One should be initiated into following the principles of Shastra. In offering initiation, our Krishna consciousness movement asks one to come to the conclusion of Shastra by taking the advice of the supreme speaker of the Shastra, Krishna, forgetting the principles of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, the principles we advise are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These four types of engagement will enable an intelligent person to get free from the materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. In regard to the instructions of the father and mother, it may be said that every living entity, including even the insignificant cats, dogs, and serpents, takes birth of a father and mother. Therefore, getting a material father and mother is not a problem. In every form of life, birth after birth, the living entity gets a father and a mother. In human society, however, if one is satisfied with his material father and mother and their instructions and does not make further progress by accepting a spiritual master and being educated in the Shastras, he certainly remains in darkness. The material father and mother are important only if they are interested in educating their son to become free from the clutches of death. As instructed by Rishabhadeva in the Bhagavatam 5.5.18, Pita nasa syach janani nasa syat namo cha yadya samapeta mrityum. One should not strive to become a mother or father if one cannot save one's dependent son from the impending danger of death. A parent who does not know how to save his son has no value because such fathers and mothers may be had in any form of life, even among the cats, dogs, and so on. Only a father and mother who can elevate their son to the spiritual platform are bona fide parents. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, it is said, Janmana jayate shudra. One is born of a material father and mother as a shudra. The purpose of life, however, is to become a brahmana, a first-class man. A first-class intelligent man is called a brahmana because he knows the supreme Brahman, the absolute truth. According to the Vedic instructions, Tadvignam sa gurum ivabhigacchet. To know this science, one must approach a bona fide guru, a spiritual master, who will initiate the disciple with the sacred thread so that he may understand the Vedic knowledge. Janmana jayate shudra samskrikara di bhavedvija. Becoming a brahmana through the endeavor of a bona fide spiritual master is called samskara. After initiation, one is engaged in study of the Shastra, which teaches the student how to gain release from materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching this higher knowledge. Teaching what? Of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead. But unfortunately, many parents are not very satisfied with this movement. Aside from the parents of our students, many businessmen are also dissatisfied because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling. If the Krishna conscious movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Therefore, they are also very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narada Muni therefore advised the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of the Shastras. The importance of the Shastras is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 16:21. Ya Shastra Vidamutsraja Vartate Kamakarata Nasasitim Avapnoti Nasukam Naparamgatim. One who disregards the injunctions of the Shastras and acts whimsically as he likes never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home to the spiritual world. A couple of reflections. Radhika, microphone's here. Oh, sure.
I like this Kim Asat Karmavir Bhavet, you know, what is the use of all these fruitive activities? And as the theme of the chapter, that is very enlivening how Prabhupada, you know, elaborates upon this concept that the only real, you know, valuable endeavor is to endeavor for self-realization, going back home.
Yeah, there's no benefit at all. And he was mentioning illicit activities, topless bottoms, something. He said there's nothing, there's no actual profit in that at all. Yes.
Really relevant to the situation now in India, because now they come up with a program where parents criticizing ISKCON, that they are making brahmacharis, they living with parents, and it's a big issue now.
Big? How big? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the biggest thing that
and
ever
then,
happened.
You know, Prabhupada writing, now we're trying to present philosophy. No, we want them to be in family. But here is Prabhupada's statement is just saying that instructions of material father is just of no value as long as it's not helping you to go out of this material world. So how to deal with the situation?
It's important to read Prabhupada's books comprehensively, because then one would have a sense of balance in how to organize a community so that people according to their propensities are properly situated, and that the parents of those such people are appeased, that their offspring are well situated and so forth. Because Prabhupada also, this is one section, but in other sections Prabhupada will give very commonsensical, not that this isn't commonsensical, but commonsensical to the person who's dedicated to making some material progress first, and you know, that would be taken into account also. I mean, Prabhupada was very expert at dealing with parents when they would come by and, you know, anxiously ask questions about how their sons and daughters were being cared for and what their future was and so forth.
I was fascinated by how the Paryashas understood these very, you know, deep analogies the first time they heard them. You know? They heard them, and then each verse it said, they understood this analogy like this, and every time it was spot on.
It was the first IQ test. First
and
SAT.
I'm assuming something, but you know, they, as soon as they got the instructions from their father, they went to do austerities, and by bathing in the rivers and by doing austerities, they got very clear intelligence. And only if you have very clear intelligence can you understand things so precisely and enough to be able to act on the proper advice immediately. I thought that was very good, and how that's indications to us that we should take austerity seriously, and we should purify ourselves and increase the desire to be pure enough so that we can actually follow these instructions that Prabhupada had given us in these wonderful transcendental literatures.
Yeah, I like that point too, about mentioning that austerity is how one gets out of material entanglement. That was really nice. And I also like that point about the time, that the time was like a thunderbolts and razors, like some sort of weird, you know, cloud of, you know, death or something. Yeah, and I was just thinking, I like that part when it said that unless one studies the factor of time, how will one ever be able to get out of the material world? Or how will one ever get disentangled from fruit of activity? Something along those lines. And I like that because I like studying time. It's a very interesting topic. And I thought before, oh, maybe this is like, I'm getting too like analytical about it, but it's a little supportive there that one should study time, even though it's a very complicated matter, very difficult to understand.
I like the point about the whole, just considering that one has a choice to enter certain places or not enter them. One should consider carefully before making that move. Recently, when I went into a federal prison, I had to think about it. I mean, it was a trepidation that, are they going to let me back out again? Because even though I'm not part of the prison system, there's still kind of a phobia that, you know, other living entities can control your fate. They could say anything, you know. But I went in there, and I did feel it viscerally when they slammed the doors behind me, and they do slam them. And there's a lot of locks, and there's a lot of guards at every corner. And once they slammed closed, you know, I thought, I'm completely at Krishna's mercy. I'm in here. And sometimes people enter a prison system innocent, but then they get implicated while they're in there. And because they're implicated, then they end up maybe spending their life in there and never coming out. So one has to consider these things when entering into an agreement in the material world, entering into a whole, so to speak, one way or the other, that maybe I should think many times about entering into a certain area of thought or commitment in the material world, especially.
On Nagar's point, you can't buy back a second of time, even if you spent millions of dollars, you can't buy 1 second back. So I really appreciate that analogy about how we shouldn't waste time. We should organize our lives. What does Prabhupada say? We should not organize. He used to mold our, yeah, thank you. Mold our life in such a way that we can always think of Krishna and never forget it.
Unamas?
I liked very much our profession, clearly defined by Prabhupada, that our profession is always the same, to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting. So it's really nice profession. We are not unemployed. We have given nice profession. I liked very much this, how Prabhupada put it. And also I liked very much also when Prabhupada is saying that we can't help, we must preach these things. Like the four regulative principles and these things, he's saying that cannot help, unavoidable. So those who have understood clearly the scriptures, there's no much choice what to do. Like it's just the intelligent aware, those people who are aware, then this is what they do. Otherwise, I like this very much.
I was thinking about the style. Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, we have the Vaishnav style that we present. And a lot of times when I'm traveling around as a going to Dodi and Kirtan and to Dilok and everything, and just I notice that people really conform. Everyone's got to wear the same thing. All the businessmen wear like some casual pants, like jeans, and then some New Balance tennis shoes, and then a nice blazer, and then they all have the same kind of suitcase. Everybody's looking around and checking out, this is what we're supposed to do. And then when they see you know, a person dressed like a devotee walking by, then they're like, what? And it's actually very gratifying in a way, not to be an exhibitionist or something like that, but just to sort of like stick it to the man, throw a spanner in the works and kind of like, you know, like, hey, you guys are following mass consensual trance. And this is a style from Vrindavan, and it feels really nice to be able to just project that. And then the other part about style is it's so whimsical. I mean, a few years ago, people, like in the 80s, people were wearing baggy style. They had to have big shoulder pads, and like everything was baggy. You know, from who lived through that area knows, era. And then now everything's skinny. So and also, you know, it used to be a joke. If someone's pants were too tight and they were pulled up too high, then, you know, everyone would joke that, what a nerd, what an idiot, you know, what are you waiting for, a flood or something? And but now everyone, the most expensive suits, they come up to the ankles. They're really tight, and the coat is cut really tight too. They're expensive suits. They're $2,000 suits, and you know they're tight as anything. And it's always like baggy, tight, this, that, and the other thing. But the devotees always wear the same thing, and it's such a disturbance to the mind to always try to keep up with what everybody else is doing. But if you just say, like, this is the one thing we do, Even really progressive people in the material world figure that out. Like Steve Jobs, he always wore the same thing every day. He wore jeans and a black turtleneck, and that was it. Never changed, because when he was asked about it, he said, I don't have to think about it. I don't want to divert my intelligence from my work of, you know, like that.
What I get from what you're saying is that everyone is trying to stand out. They're not just trying to conform, they're trying to stand out. And yet we've been wearing exactly the same thing, at least I have for the last 46 years. And every time where we go, like you said, in the airports, people, they notice. And we were walking in the Dallas airport, Matt and I had my AirPods in my ear, and I was listening to something or talking to somebody, and this guy stops right in the middle, looks at me, says, far out, a technological monk. And he was really friendly and walked up and shook the hand and patted the back, and it was something interesting. So even if we're like dressed like this and do something that they like, it stands out, you know, to them. And otherwise everybody just, yeah, merging together. In
Oscar Wilde, fashion is a form of ugliness so intolerable that we have to alter it every 6 months.
What are you talking about? Okay. Text 21. Thank you for all those wonderful reflections from the Learned Assembly, I think I would call them, the Learned Assembly of the Sages, and a clear, perfect example of the effectiveness of this, what we're doing, and the example it sets for others, how to hear and how to be thoughtful in Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Text 21. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. Purport. From this verse we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in materialistic life. This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life, and the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Haryashvas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population, but because of the words of Narada Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the Shastric instructions that they should give up this material world, and as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe. For even if one goes to the topmost planetary system, Brahmaloka, one must again return, Chine, Punye, Martyalokam, Bishanti. The endeavors of karmis are a useless waste of time. One should endeavor to return home, back to Godhead. This is the perfection of life. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punar avartanarjuna mamupetya dukonteya punarjanma navidyate. From the highest planet in the material world
down to the lowest. All our places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Text 22. The seven musical notes, sa, ri, ga, ma, pa, ta, ni, and ni, are used in musical instruments, but originally they come from the Samaveda. The great sage Narada vibrates sounds describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord by such transcendental vibrations, such as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He fixes his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, of the Lord. Thus he directly perceives Rishikesha, the master of the senses. After delivering the Haryashwas, Narada Muni continued traveling throughout the planetary systems, his mind always fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport. The goodness of the great sage Narada Muni is described herewith. He always chants about the pastimes of the Lord, delivers the fallen souls back to Godhead. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda sang, Narada Muni Bhaja Vina Radhika Ramana Name Nama Amani Udita Bhakat Hita Ami Yadara Varishe Gana Chavana Jugale Giya Bhakat Jana Sangahina Chi Priya Apanahiya Madura Pura Asabha Pashi Mataya Jagata Jane Keha Vagandi Keha Vanache Keha Mate Mane Mane Pancha Vadana Narade Dari Pimera Ragana Rola Kamala Sana Nachiya Bale Bolo Bola Hari Bora Sahasrananda Paramasuke Hari Hari Bali Gaya Nama Prav Matila Vish Nama Rasamay Maya Shri Krishna Nam Rasane Spoot Pula Amada Asha Shri Rupa Pari Ache Hai Sa. The purport of this song is that Narada Muni, the great soul, plays a stringed instrument called a veena, vibrating the sound Radhika Ramana, which is another name for Krishna. As soon as he strokes the strings, all the devotees begin responding, making a very beautiful vibration. Accompanied by the stringed instrument, the singing seems like a shower of nectar, and all the devotees dance in ecstasy to the fullest extent of their satisfaction. While dancing, they appear madly intoxicated with ecstasy, as if drinking the beverage called Madhuri Pura. Some of them cry, some of them dance, and some of them, although unable to dance publicly, dance within their hearts. Lord Shiva embraces Narada Muni and begins talking in an ecstatic voice, and seeing Lord Shiva dancing with Narada, Lord Brahma also joins, saying, all of you kindly chant Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The King of Heaven, Indra, also gradually joins with satisfaction and begins dancing and chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. In this way, by the influence of the transcendental vibration of the holy name of God, the whole universe becomes ecstatic. Bhaktivinod Thakur says, when the universe becomes ecstatic, my desire is satisfied. I therefore pray under the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami that this chanting of Harir Nama may go on nicely like this. Lord Brahma is the guru of Narada Muni, who is the guru of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is the guru of Madhvacharya. Thus, the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya is in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. The members of this disciplic succession, in other words, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, should follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni by chanting the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They should go everywhere to deliver the fallen souls by vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can spiritually advance if one actually follows the instructions of Narada Muni. If one pleases Narada Muni, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesha, is also pleased. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasada. The immediate spiritual master is the representative of Narada Muni. There is no difference between the instructions of Narada Muni and those of the present spiritual master. Both Narada Muni and the present spiritual master speak the same teachings of Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto majyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me sarvadharman parityajya mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshaya shamyapuja. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Text 23. The Hayashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were very well behaved, cultured sons, but unfortunately, because of the instructions of Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narada Muni, he began to lament. That's far out. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly this was lamentable. Purport. The Ayashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were certainly well behaved and advanced, and in accordance with the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons for their family. But Narada Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with this material world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Hayashvas abided by the order of Narada Muni, but when news of this was brought to Prajapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the actions of Narada Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Similarly, we are trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna consciousness movement for their ultimate benefit. But the parents of the young men joining this movement, being very sorry, are lamenting and making counter-propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narada Muni, but later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narada Muni for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. A materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions and rotting in materialistic life. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled and less useless citizens, but they join the Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. This animosity between parents and the Krishna consciousness movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narada Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narada Muni never gives up his mission to deliver as many fallen souls as possible. He continues playing his musical instrument and vibrating the transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Text 24. When Prajapati Daksha was lamenting for his lost children, Lord Brahma pacified him with instructions, and thereafter Daksha begot 1,000 more children in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. This time, his sons were known as the Savalashvas. Purport. Prajapati Daksha was so named because he was very expert in begetting children. The word Daksha means expert. First he begot 10,000 children in the womb of his wife. And when the children were lost, then when they returned home back to Godhead, he begot another set of children, known as the Savalashvas. Prajapati Daksha was very expert in begetting children, and Narada Muni is very expert in delivering all the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the materialistic experts do not agree with the spiritual expert, Narada Muni. But this does not mean that Narada Muni will give up his engagement of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Just a second. Let me check here. No. That means it's corrected. Text 25. Thank you. In accordance with their father's order to beget children, the second group of sons also went to Narayana Saras, the same place where their mothers had previously attained perfection by following the instructions of Narada. Undertaking great vows of austerity, the Savalashvas remained at that holy place. Purport. Prajapati Daksha sent his second group of sons to the same place where his previous sons had attained perfection. He did not hesitate to send his second groups of sons to the same place, although they too might become victims of Narada's instructions. According to the Vedic culture, one should be trained in spiritual understanding as a brahmachari before entering household life to beget children. This is the Vedic system. Thus, Prajapati Daksha sent his second group of sons for cultural improvement. Despite the risk that because of the instructions of Narada, they might become as intelligent as their older brothers, as a dutiful father, he did not hesitate to allow his sons to receive cultural instructions concerning the perfection of life. He depended upon them to choose whether to return home back to Godhead or to rot in this material world in various species of life. In all circumstances, the duty of the father is to give cultural education to his sons, who must later decide which way to go. Responsible fathers should not hinder their sons who are making cultural advancement in association with the Krishna consciousness movement. This is not a father's duty. The duty of the father is to give his son complete freedom to make his choice after becoming spiritually advanced by following the instructions of the spiritual master.
It brings us to the Gayatri break. We'll be back here at 12:32 and 30 seconds. Please don't be late. Hare Krishna. It's in the holy water, and by its touch, all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras, beginning with Omkar, and underwent a severe course of austerities. Purport. Every Vedic mantra is called Brahma, because each mantra is preceded by Brahmakshara, Aum or Omkar. For example, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:8, Pranavak Sarvavedeshu. In all the Vedic mantras, I am represented by Pranava, or Omkar. Thus, chanting of the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkar is directly chanting of Krishna's name. There is no difference. Whether one chants Omkar or addresses the Lord as Krishna, the meaning is the same. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age, one chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Although there is no difference between the Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras, beginning with Omkar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For a few months, the sons of Prajapati Daksha drank only water and ate only air. Thus, undergoing great austerities, they recited this mantra. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in his transcendental abode. Since he is the Supreme Person, Paramahamsa, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Purport: from these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Mahamantra or the Vedic mantras must be accompanied by severe austerities. People cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned herein, drinking only water and eating only air for many months. One cannot imitate such a process, but at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Anyone can easily practice this tapasya, and then the chanting of the Hare mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. If possible, one should bathe in the waters of the Ganges or Jamuna, or in the absence of the Ganges and Jamuna, one may bathe in the water of the sea. This is an item of austerity. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavana and the other in Mayapur, Navadvip. There, one may bathe in the Ganges or Jamuna, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect and return home back to Godhead. Text 29. O King Parikshit, Narada Muni approached these sons of Prajapati Daksha, who were engaged in tapasya to beget children, and spoke enigmatic words to them, just as he had spoken to their elder brothers. Purport: the sons of Daksha, O sons of Daksha, please hear my words of instruction attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brother, Aryashvas. Therefore, you should follow their path. Purport: Narada Muni encouraged Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons by awakening their natural affinity for their brothers. He urged them to follow their older brothers if they were at all affectionate toward them. Family affection is very strong, and therefore Narada Muni followed this tactic of reminding them of their family relationship with the Haryashvas. Generally, the word nigama refers to the Vedas, but here, nigama refers to the instructions contained in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam says, the Vedic instructions are like a tree, of which Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripe fruit. Narada Muni is engaged in distributing this fruit, and therefore he instructed Vyasadeva to write this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of ignorant human society. Anarto Pashanam Sakshat Pukti Yogam Atoksaje Lokasya Janato Vidvam Shakre Satvata Sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. People are suffering because of ignorance and following a wrong path for happiness. This is called anartha. These material activities will never make them happy, and therefore Narada instructed Vyasadeva to record the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva actually followed Narada and did this. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme instruction of the Vedas, Galitam Palam. The ripened fruit of the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Gopi Paranadana Prabhu told us that Jiva Goswami and the Tattvasandarbha, therefore, from what we heard about the Bhagavatam, Nigama, is accepted as Shruti, even though it's generally considered a Purana, which would mean Smriti. That's Jiva Goswami's conclusion. A brother, aware of the principles of religion, follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like the Maruts, who were all affectionate to their brothers. Purport. According to their belief in various material relationships, people are put to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marudloka. Narada Muni advised Yaksha's second group of sons to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world. Text 32. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers. Not attempting to produce children, they engaged themselves in Krishna consciousness. Text 33. The Savalashvas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by the mode of life meant to achieve devotional service, or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned, even until now. Text 34. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, and he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalashvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada.
Unamas.
Si. Gracias. When he heard that the Savalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada, and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips became trembling in anger, and he spoke as follows. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Swayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttanapad. He had delivered Uttanapad's son Dhruva and had even delivered Prachinabari, who was engaged in fruitive activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for appreciating Bhakti Yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of men, Artha, one who is distressed, Artarthi, one in need of money, Jigyasu, one who is inquisitive, and Jnani, a person in knowledge, try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage.
36. Prajapati Daksha said, Alas, Narada Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person, but you are not actually a saint. Indeed, although I am now in grihastha life, I am a saintly person. By showing my sons the path of renunciation, you have done me an abominable injustice. Purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sanyasira ulpa chidra sarva loke gai. In society, one will find many sannyasis, vanaprastas, grihasthas, and brahmacharis. But if all of them properly live in accordance with their duties, they are understood to be sadhus. Prajapati Daksha was certainly a sadhu because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared before him. Nevertheless, he had a fault-finding mentality. He improperly thought Narada Muni to be a sadhu, or non-saintly, because Narada had foiled his intentions. Desiring to train his sons to become grihasthas, fully equipped with knowledge, Daksha had sent them to execute austerities by Narayana Saras. Narada Muni, however, taking advantage of their highly elevated position in austerity, instructed them to become Vaishnavas in the renounced order. This is the duty of Narada Muni and his followers. They must show everyone the path of renouncing this material world and returning home back to Godhead. Prajapati Daksha, however, could not see the exaltedness of their duties, of the duties Narada Muni performed in relation to his sons. Unable to appreciate Narada Muni's behavior, Daksha accused Narada of being a sadhu. The words Bhikshur Marg, the path of renounced order, are very significant in this regard. A sannyasi is called Tridandi Bhikshu because his duty is to beg alms from the homes of grihasthas and to give the grihasthas spiritual instruction. A sannyasi is allowed to beg from door to door, but a grihastha cannot do so. Grihasthas may earn their living according to the four divisions of spiritual life. A brahmana grihastha may earn his livelihood by becoming a learned scholar and teaching people in general how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may also assume the duty of worship himself. Therefore, it is said that only brahmanas may engage in deity worship, and they may accept as prasad whatever people offer the deity. Although a brahmana may sometimes accept charity, it is not for his personal maintenance, but for the worship of the deity. Thus, a brahmana does not stock anything for his future use. Similarly, kshatriyas may collect taxes from the citizens, and they must also protect the citizens, enforce rules and regulations, and maintain law and order. Vaishyas should earn their livelihood through agriculture and cattle protection, and Shudras should maintain their livelihood by serving the three higher classes. Unless one becomes a brahmana, one cannot take sannyas. Sannyasis and brahmacharis may beg alms door to door, but a grihastha cannot. Prajapati Daksha condemned Narada Muni because Narada, a brahmachari, who could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons, who were being trained to be grihasthas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. According to Daksha's opinion, Narada Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons, Asadhu, Akar, Ar, Bakanam. Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narada showed them the renounced order of life. Because of all these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narada Muni was Asadhu and should not have adopted the dress of a sadhu. Sometimes a saintly person is misunderstood by grihasthas, especially when he instructs their young sons to accept Krishna consciousness. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. If a young man immediately adopts the path of the renounced order in accordance with the instructions of Narada, or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become angry. This same phenomenon is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement because we are instructing all the young boys in the Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think his life has been practically destroyed. We allow no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication, and consequently the parents wonder how, if there are so many no's, one's life can be positive. In the Western countries, especially, these four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just as Prajapati Daksha disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duty without hesitation because we are in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. People addicted to householder life wonder how one can give up the enjoyment of grihastha life, which is a concession for sex enjoyment, simply to become a mendicant in Krishna consciousness. They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the mendicant. The Vedic civilization therefore enjoins that at the end of one's 50th year, one must give up household life. This is compulsory. However, because modern civilization is misled, householders want to remain in family life until death, and therefore they are suffering. In such cases, the disciples of Narada Muni advise all the members of the younger generation to join the Krishna consciousness movement immediately. There's nothing wrong with this. 37. Prajapati Daksha said, "My sons were not at all freed from their three debts. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narada Muni, O personality of sinful action, you have obstructed their progress toward good fortune in this world and the next, because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods, and their father." Purport: as soon as a Brahmana takes birth, he assumes three kinds of debts. Debts to great saints, debts to the demigods, and debts to his father. The son of a Brahmana must undergo celibacy, brahmacharya, to clear his debts to the saintly persons. He must perform ritualistic ceremonies to clear his debts to the demigods. And he must beget children to become free from his debts to his father. Prajapati Daksha argued that although the renounced order is recommended for liberation, one cannot attain liberation unless one fulfills his obligations to the demigods, the saints, and his father. Since Daksha's sons had not liberated themselves from these three debts, how could Narada Muni have led them to the renounced order of life? Apparently, Prajapati Daksha did not know that the final decision of the Shastras, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41. Divarshi bhutat nandranam pitranam nakin karunayam ranicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Everyone is indebted to the demigods, the living entities in general, to his family, to the pitas, and so on. But if one fully surrenders to Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation, even if one performs no yajnas, one is free from all debts. Even if one does not repay his debts, he is free from all debts if he renounces the material world for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet are the shelter of everyone. This is the verdict of the Shastra. Therefore, Narada Muni was completely right in instructing the sons of Prajapati Daksha to renounce this material world immediately and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, did not understand the great service rendered by Narada Muni. Daksha therefore addressed him as Papa, the personality of sinful activities, and Asadhu, a non-saintly person. Since Narada Muni was a great saint and Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations from Prajapati Daksha. He merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all the sons of Prajapati Daksha, enabling them to return home back to Godhead. 38. Prajapati Daksha continued, "Thus committing violence against other living entities and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu, you are defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You needlessly created a mentality of renunciation in innocent boys, and therefore you are shameless and devoid of compassion. How could you travel with the personal associates of the Supreme Lord?" Everyone okay? Keep going? Purport: this mentality of Prajapati Daksha still continues even today. When young boys join the Krishna consciousness movement, their fathers and so-called guardians are very angry at the propounder of the Krishna consciousness movement because they think that their sons have been unnecessarily induced to deprive themselves of the material enjoyments of eating, drinking, and merrymaking. Karmis, fruitive workers, think that one should fully enjoy his present life in this material world and also perform some pious activities to be promoted to higher planetary systems for further enjoyment in the next life. A yogi, however, especially a bhakti yogi, is callous to the opinions of this material world. He is not interested in traveling to the higher planetary systems of the demigods to enjoy a long life in an advanced materialistic civilization. As stated by Prabhupada Saraswati, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridashapur Akashapushpayate. For a devotee, merging into the Brahman existence is hellish. A life in the higher planetary For a devotee, merging into the Brahman existence is hellish, and life in the higher planetary systems of the demigods is will-o'-the-wisp, a phantasmagoria with no real existence at all. A pure devotee is not interested in yogic perfection, travel to higher planetary systems, or oneness with Brahman. He is interested only in rendering service to the personality of Godhead. Since Prajapati Daksha was a karmi, he could not appreciate the great service Narada Muni had rendered his 11,000 sons. Instead, he accused Narada Muni of being sinful and charged that because Narada Muni was associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord would also be defamed. Thus, Daksha criticized that Narada Muni was an offender to the Lord, although he was known as an associate of the Lord. 39. All the devotees of the Lord but you are very kind to the conditioned souls and are eager to benefit others. Although you wear the dress of a devotee, you create enmity with people who are not your enemies, or you break friendship and create enmity between friends. Are you not ashamed of posing as a devotee while performing these abominable actions? Purport. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narada Muni in the disciplic succession. Through the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are trying to train young people to become devotees and return home, back to Godhead, by following rigid regulative principles. But our service is appreciated neither in India nor abroad in the Western countries, where we are endeavoring to spread this Krishna Consciousness Movement. In India, the caste Brahmanas have become enemies of the Krishna Consciousness Movement because we elevate foreigners who are supposed to be mlechas and yavanas to the position of Brahmanas. We train them in austerities and penances and recognize them as Brahmanas by awarding them sacred threads. Thus the caste Brahmanas of India are very displeased by our activities in the Western world. In the West also, the parents of the young people who join this movement have also become enemies. We have no business creating enemies, but the process is such that non-devotees will always be inimical, that's the class you gave, toward us. Nevertheless, as stated in the Shastras, a devotee should be both tolerant and merciful. Devotees engaged in preaching should be prepared to be accused by innocent persons. Devotees engaged in preaching should be prepared to be accused by ignorant persons, and yet they must be very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls. If one can execute his duty in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni, his service will surely be recognized. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Ya idam paramam kuhyam mad bhakteshva vidasiti bhaktim bai param kritva mami vaishyasya samshayaha nachatasman manusheshu kashin me priyakritamaha avitana chametasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Let us continue preaching the message of Lord Krishna and not be afraid of our enemies. Our only duty is to satisfy the Lord by this preaching, which will be accepted as service by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. We must sincerely serve the Lord and not be deterred by so-called enemies. In this verse, the word saurada nang, a breaker of friendship, is used because Narada Muni and the members of his disciplic succession disrupt friendships and family life. They are sometimes accused of being sohrida gnam, creators of enmity between relatives. Actually, such devotees are friends of every living entity, suridam sarvabhutanam, but they are misunderstood to be enemies. Preaching can be difficult. A difficult, thankless task, but a preacher must follow the orders of the Supreme Lord and be unafraid of materialistic persons. 40. Prajapati Daksha continued, if you think that simply awakening the sense of renunciation will detach one from the material world, I must say that unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing dresses as you have done cannot possibly bring detachment. Purport. Prajapati Daksha was correct in stating that changing one's dress cannot detach one from this material world. The sannyasis of Kali Yuga, who change their robes from white to saffron and then think they can do whatever they like, are more abominable than materialistic grihasthas.
This is not recommended anywhere. Prajapati Daksha was right in pointing out this defect, but he did not know that Narada Muni had aroused the spirit of renunciation in the Haryashvas and the Savalashvas through full knowledge. Such enlightened renunciation is desirable. One should enter the renounced order with full knowledge, jnana vairagya, for the perfection of life is possible for one who renounces this material world in that way. This elevated stage can be reached very easily, as supported by the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam 127. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janiyat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. If one seriously engages in the devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, jnana and vairagya are automatically manifest in one's person. There is no doubt about this. Prajapati Daksha's accusation that Narada had not actually elevated his sons to the platform of knowledge was not factual. All the sons of Prajapati Daksha had first been raised to the platform of jnana and had then automatically renounced this world. In summary, unless one's knowledge is awakened, renunciation cannot take place. For without elevated knowledge, one cannot give up attachment for material enjoyment.
Text 41. Material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness, but one cannot give it up unless one has personally experienced how much suffering it is. Therefore, one should be allowed to remain in so-called material enjoyment while simultaneously advancing in knowledge to experience the misery of this false material happiness. Then, without help from others, one will find material enjoyment distasteful. Those whose minds are changed by others do not become as renounced as those who have personal experience. Purport. It is said that unless a woman becomes pregnant, she cannot understand the trouble of giving birth to a child. Mandya ki bujibhe prasava vedana. The word bandya means a sterile woman. Such a woman cannot give birth to a child. How then can she perceive the pain of delivery? According to the philosophy of Prajapati Daksha, a woman should first become pregnant and then experience the pain of childbirth. Then, if she is intelligent, she will not want to be pregnant again. Actually, however, this is not a fact. Sex enjoyment is so strong that a woman becomes pregnant and suffers at the time of childbirth, but she becomes pregnant again despite her experience. According to Daksha's philosophy, one should become implicated in material enjoyment so that after experiencing the distress of such enjoyment, one will automatically renounce. Material nature, however, is so strong that although a man suffers at every step, he will not cease his attempts to enjoy. Tripyanti neha kripana bahudukka bhajaha. Under the circumstances, unless one gets the association of a devotee like Narada Muni or his servant in the disciplic succession, one's dormant spirit of renunciation cannot be awakened. It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. One needs the blessings of devotees, of a devotee like Narada Muni. Then one can renounce his attachment for the material world. The young boys and girls of the Krishna consciousness movement have given up the spirit of material enjoyment not because of practice, but by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. Text 42. Although I live in household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunctions by engaging in fruitive activities to enjoy life without sinful reactions. I have performed all kinds of yajnas, including the Deva Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Pitri Yajna, and Nriyajna. Because these yajnas are called vratas, vows, I am known as a Grihavrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguiding my sons for no reason to the path of renunciation. This can be tolerated once. Purport. Prajapati Daksha wanted to prove that he had been most tolerant in not having said anything when Narada Muni, for no reason, induced his 10,000 innocent sons to adopt the path of renunciation. Sometimes householders are accused of being Grihamedis, for Grihamedis are satisfied with family life without spiritual advancement. Grihasthas, however, are different, because although Grihasthas live a householder life with their wives and children, they are eager for spiritual advancement. Wanting to prove that he had been magnanimous to Narada Muni, Prajapati Daksha stressed that when Narada had misled his first son's Daksha, had taken no... Excuse me. Wanting to prove that he had been magnanimous to Narada Muni, Prajapati Daksha stressed that when Narada had misled his first son's, Daksha had taken no action. He had been kind and tolerant. He was aggrieved, however, because Narada Muni had misled his sons for a second time. Therefore, he wanted to prove that Narada Muni, although dressed like a sadhu, was not actually a sadhu. He himself, although a householder, was a greater sadhu than Narada Muni. Text 43. You have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave toward others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Purport. Because Prajapati Daksha was a Grihamedi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narada Muni could not remain in one place, but had to travel all over the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as Parivrajakacharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. In the Parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places for residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Since the Krishna consciousness movement was started, I have traveled all over the world 2 or 3 times a year, and although I am provided comfortable places to stay wherever I go, I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task, this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, take charge of traveling all over the world, it may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents to these young preachers. Then I may sit down conveniently in one place for the work of translation. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Text 44. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, Narada Muni is an approved saintly person. When cursed by Prajapati Daksha, I'm sorry. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tad Bhadam, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse." He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Titik Shava Karonika Suridak Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatravak Shantak Sadhavak Sadhubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful,
and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Because Narada Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Trinadapi sunichena tarodapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniyak sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madhai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now, it may be asked why Narada Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni should have left immediately, but he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Very interesting. Very interesting. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narada Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and free from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. When Jagai and Madhai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha.
We got time for one reflection.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask a burning question?
Burning, do it.
In my time in the Krishna consciousness movement, I've many times heard the idea that one has to feel the pain of grihastha life in order to be able to renounce. But Prabhupada says clearly that it's not by the pain of material enjoyment that one is able to renounce, but by the mercy of the sadhus. And so if someone wanted to make the argument that one has to feel the pain of material life and that is what one will allow one to renounce, one could cite the 41st verse of this chapter where Prajapati Daksha says exactly that. And then Prabhupada goes on to say in the purport kind of that his philosophy is wrong. And so my question is, when looking at the statements of the Bhagavatam, when looking at the verses of the Bhagavatam, can we accept every statement as the highest truth, or do we have to discriminate that some verses are, you know, spoken by less qualified personalities, and so they don't show the highest truth?
It's not necessarily by less qualified personalities per se, but there are also different circumstances. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is encyclopedic in one way. It deals with instructions to many different kinds of people. Of course, that could fit your idea of, you know, people in different levels of consciousness. But the your ultimate question is, in a nutshell, what?
If I wanted to preach the philosophy that one has to experience the pain of material life in order to be able to renounce, I could cite this verse.
Well, there are other verses as well. There are other verses. I mean, there's verses as blatant as in the 11th canto where it's mentioned that one should pour one should embrace sense gratification and take as much as possible, because then it could be like a fire being put out by an infusion of ghee. You pour too much ghee on the fire, it'll actually go out. Narada Muni spoke that verse. So, I mean, you could take that as well, but it's in a different context. That's why one has to take the Bhagavatam and the instructions of the Bhagavatam and administer it through a guru according to one's particular circumstances. Yeah.
I heard Gopi Purananda Prabhu talking on this subject very nicely. Gopi was very, you know, knowledgeable and very humble and very loyal. And he was speaking about the Gita, and he said that actually Krishna gives instructions, all kind of instructions in the Gita, that if you were to take any one of them out of context, then you could consider to do this. And one of the reasons that Krishna does this is to appeal to all kinds of people so that they can do what they can do according to where they are and how advanced or not they are and still go forward. Like, for instance, you know, Krishna appealed to Arjuna's Kshatriya spirit, you know. Kshatriyas have a nature, and if you insult them, they get angry, and they get, you know, the charioteer of the chariot warrior would sometimes, you know, speak some words in the chariot ear to fire him up, to get him to, you know, fight. So in that way, he gave instructions through the Gita that could be applied in any place in life, and also could be accepted by those persons in that position to be where they should be and stay. And therefore, in the overall instructions, it says that if you decide to stay there and as karma yogi or a jnana yogi, then you're called a karma yogi or a jnana yogi. And you don't necessarily have to go through the whole, or you don't necessarily go through the whole process to get to bhakti yoga. But at the same time, you know, if you see the body of knowledge as a whole, and that's why it's recommended by Prabhupada in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in his preface, that the only qualification for studying this great book of knowledge is to go through it verse by verse, all the way through, you know, and not jump around, because the tendency to do that might develop a dilettante, or a person who's just taking a little here, a little there, dabbling, and not actually thoroughly understanding the subject. So when our acharyas describe the Bhagavatam as being, the prayers that we chant by Sanatana Goswami in the beginning, one of the things he says is that from every syllable pours a flood of prema. So even when we hear these individual verses that may be appeared out of context to say another thing, the result always ends up connecting one to Krishna consciousness properly and bringing one to the lotus feet of Krishna, as the whole first nine cantos do. Therefore, a gopi was saying in that section of his lecture that, in his opinion, the bhakti program should be to read, first of all of Prabhupada's books, the ones he always mentions, mainly the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the way through, cover to cover, without moving around from here to there. And then one will get a comprehensive understanding of how to apply the instructions that appear to be contradictory in a way that proves them to be stepping stones to devotional service.
That brings us to the end of this morning's reading. We're going to be starting again at 3:30 this afternoon, India Standard Time. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you back soon. Gaur Premanande, Nitai Gaura Haribo, Bo, Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, Bo, Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakop the Rushta, Kripas in the Beva Chapatitana, and Pavanibio, Vaishnavi, Biona Munamaha, Natagodi Vaishnavi Nikija. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, hey, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.